folks, and welcome to your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle, The Bend Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Wanner, aka Beck. We say this each week, we love hearing from y'all. Comments, stories, ideas, get a hold of us anytime. Call or text 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always drop an email to bendradioshow@gmail.com. Ryan Long, as always, is my producer and co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. However, we are coming at you from different locations because I am on the road. I am in Lincoln, Nebraska right now for the 2026 National High School Finals Rodeo that's going on. And Tigger is holding down the fort.
This is dumb. How's it going there, Tigger? This is dumb. I'm the rodeo announcer, and you get to hang out in Lincoln, Nebraska at the finals, and I'm stuck at home.
Well, you know, that's just how it goes. Somebody has to make sure the place doesn't burn down, okay? That's the deal.
So speaking of the place burning down, no, everything's safe. I don't think you have seen this yet on Facebook. See, Beck and I are part of a number of different local Facebook groups like y'all are, you know, like rummage sales and stuff like this. And this just happened a couple days ago, so you are lucky that you are out of town. I'm just going to read this. My Burmese python escaped last night. If anyone spots her near the river north of town, please message immediately. Don't worry. She's very gentle. And so, Beck, north of town is on our side of the river. So we live about 4 miles north of town. Yeah, no kidding. This is in albino. I believe it's an albino Burmese python. It's actually really gorgeous. It's a yellow and white python, but yeah.
Just, I don't think a snake can be gorgeous. Well, there's no way you can call a snake gorgeous.
The color pattern that we have on the snake is gorgeous, but yes, that is on our side of the river just north of town. So I was researching this a little bit, and this has become the big scuttlebutt here that everybody has been talking about, this Burmese python that is on the loose. I thought there would be more people commenting of, you know, who cares about a snake? And I'm surprised.
A dead snake?
No, it's completely the opposite. Everybody was saying, I hope you find your snake. She's gorgeous. There's more comments like that. I don't know if I agree on the snake can be gentle by any stretch of the imagination, especially a python, but you definitely picked the right time to not be in the neighborhood.
I don't even know what to say right now. The only way I would want to see a snake skin at all would be if it was on a pair of boots. So, yes, I'm glad I am nowhere near where you are in dealing with a Burmese python. And the only thing I can think of is at least we know that come wintertime, unless it finds a place to hibernate in a home somewhere, it probably won't make it till next year.
That's what they said.
It's a little cold.
That's what they said, actually. A number of people were saying, I hope you find your pet snake, because apparently that when it hits like 50 degrees or cooler, that the snake will not survive, which makes sense, of course. So regardless, you're safe, babe. And if you are, since you are in Nebraska at the finals, and I would imagine it's almost like a miniature little cowboy Christmas down there, not even a miniature one, it's probably a huge cowboy Christmas down there, and you said snakeskin boots, I'm just saying, if you want to bring back a pair of snakeskin boots, by all means, go for it.
Oh, wow. So I can buy myself a pair.
Buy two pair.
I bring you a pair.
Buy two pair.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, while we're speaking of news, I've got a little bit more for you. We'll head to Yellowstone for this one. In case you haven't seen this on social media or on TV,
we've all seen this one. We've all seen this one, dear.
Yes, a visitor to Yellowstone National Park was seriously injured last week, Friday evening, after an aggressive bull bison charged and tossed him about 8 feet. They're saying more like 10 feet into the air near Bridge Bay Campground. Professional photographer Mike McLeod, who witnessed and filmed the incident, said the man was walking with his grandson when the bison suddenly charged, despite the pair being about 100 yards away. Just so you know, the National Park System usually says to stay 25 yards away. These folks were 100 yards away. The grandson escaped, but the grandfather was struck by the bison, flipped into the air, and he did suffer serious injuries that did require surgery. McLeod said the bull had been acting aggressively throughout the campground, charging at vehicles, people, and anything in its path. After the attack, the bison stood over the injured man until McLeod and several bystanders shouted and moved toward the animal, causing it to retreat. Other campers immediately, of course, called 911 and helped care for the victim until Yellowstone emergency crews arrived. The National Park Service has not yet released official details about the incident, and according to the videographer, the victim's grandson later confirmed his grandfather suffered significant injuries and remains in recovery.
I think sorry to jump in there. I think he broke his leg in like four places or something like that.
Right. So, and we've seen the video, Tigger and I have. And if you head to thebenshow.com and look at this show's notes, you'll see the video there yourself if you've not seen it. It is pretty crazy. I mean, I've camped in national parks with bison before and have had them come through the campground. Thankfully, when that's happened to me in a tent situation, they just roamed around, did some grazing, and went on. But it is worth watching this video because it brings back the reality that we are dealing with nature, and Mother Nature has its own ideas of fun and not fun. We'll put it that way.
I have some friends, you know, the Gettles, and Christy's dad, as you know, Beck, and he's in the bison business, and I've been to his place when they were working buffalo, that they were actually running them through an alley and stuff like that. And he would not let me help in any way, shape, and form. And I was really kind of surprised by this. You and I have talked about this already. And he said, anybody that has working cattle experience, he does not want them to help working buffalo because it's completely different. And he said, if you just want to hang out over there and watch, that's fine. But in terms of helping in any way, he said, nope, we've got it all taken care of. It's a totally different creature compared to working cattle. So I found that interesting when he was working all these buffalo. I mean, it was really cool to watch all of this, but he didn't want anybody that was cowboy in any way, shape, or form to partake in this unless they had experience working buffalo before. And obviously I didn't.
That is really interesting. And regardless, I'm just going to say this, as I always say, don't pet the fluffy cow, okay?
There you go.
If you see buffalo, bison, whichever, however you want to call them, don't get out of your vehicle. That's all I can say. While we're still looking at the news, I'm going to take us to Wyoming for this next one, where two women are counting themselves lucky after a frightening overnight encounter with a black bear in Wyoming's Bighorn Mountains. Maggie Bassett and Sean Adele were camping when they say a black bear ripped into their tent, apparently determined to get inside. The pair yelled, screamed, and even fired warning shots, but they say the bear kept returning. After several tense minutes, the bear finally left long enough for the women to reach their vehicle. They stayed inside, honking the horn for hours before driving to a nearby family cabin. Neither woman was injured, but when they returned later, they found their campsite and tents badly damaged. The women say they had taken recommended bear precautions, including storing food properly and keeping nothing edible inside their tents. Wildlife experts believe the bear may have been food conditioned, meaning it had previously learned to associate campsites and people with food. Bears that lose their natural fear of humans are more likely to approach camps and create dangerous situations. The Wyoming Game and Fish Department has been notified and plans to trap and relocate this bear. The incident is a reminder that even when campers do everything right, wildlife can still behave unpredictably. I think that's what we're hearing with both of these stories, is that at the end of the day, you've got to stay vigilant of your surroundings at all times. So on that note, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, crew, I'm coming at you live from Lincoln, Nebraska. You're listening to The Ben Show.
Are you looking for true price discovery for your feeder cattle? Look no further than Superior Livestock Auction. The Video Royale sale is coming up July 27th through the 31st, followed by the Bighorn Classic. To consign to the Bighorn Classic, Cattle need to be cataloged by July 31st, and videos need to be submitted by August 7th. Again, July 31st for the catalog and August 7th for the videos to consign to the Bighorn Classic. Any questions, reach out to your Superior Livestock Auction rep or call Superior Livestock Customer Service at 800-422-2117. View the sale live on Dish Network Channel 997 and online at sla-tv.com.
Welcome to Sire Buyer, a place where we connect cattlemen, the nation's number one destination for buying and selling breeding genetics. In-depth reviews and upbeat news on your favorite sires. Sire Buyer features the top Angus bulls across the country. Be sure to sign up to receive your directory by emailing info@sirebuyer.com. If you're looking for the best place in breeding genetics, you've just found it.
RanchChannel.com, your farm and ranch network on demand. Bull sales, Western events, product information, right at your fingertips on the ultimate cowboy-friendly platform. Want to follow up-to-date markets? RanchChannel.com. No need to dig for information on all these different websites. It's all right there on RanchChannel.com. Y'all are loving it now, aren't you?
Welcome back to The Ben Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck, and Jeff Tigger Earhart is in the co-host chair. Like I mentioned before break, I'm coming at you live from Lincoln, Nebraska. Tigger's back home taking care of the place. I'm down here because it's the 2026 National High School Finals Rodeo that is kicking off this weekend in Lincoln, celebrating 77 years.
Maybe you should say why you are down in Lincoln for the National High School Finals Rodeo, because our nephew Blue qualified in the saddle bronc riding and the trap shooting, and Hank, his brother, qualified in the trap shooting as well.
That is correct. So yes, we've got some family members that have made it to the finals, and we're pretty dang excited. So that's why I had to jump in the car, road trip down here, brought my mom down. Of course, my brother, his family, we're all down here to cheer everybody on.
I'm home alone. I mean, literally, everybody, somebody had to stay back. But, okay, so when we think of rodeo, of course, we've got the traditional rodeo events. But I'm going to actually just jump right into this, because the shooting sports, I know that there's a number of people that aren't even aware that shooting sports have become a big deal in high school rodeo. So what's going on with that?
That is correct. A lot of folks don't realize because, yes, they've been celebrating rodeo for the youth for 77 years. However, it was just back in 2005 when they officially added both rifle and shotgun trap shooting as elements that you can compete in. And they did this in a partnership with the National Rifle Association, the NRA. So it's light rifle and trap shooting is what these into which these students are going to be able to compete in.
So what makes up the light rifle?
Okay, so the light rifle is any 22 caliber rimfire, 22 short, 22 long, or 22 long rifle with not less than a 2-pound trigger pull and which weighs no more than 8.5 pounds after equipped with sights. And the range that they're shooting is 50 yards. They're allowed telescopic sights that must be set at 10 power or less. So you see, they come down on these kids pretty tight on what is allowed and what's not allowed. For example, also like no portion of the rifle or any attachment to the rifle shall extend more than 3 inches beyond the rear of the shooter's shoulders. Excuse me. And of course, they do not allow silencers, suppressors, muzzle brakes. Those are all prohibited.
Oh, I was curious about that, if you could actually have a suppressor on your rifle. But I get it. If it's trying to make everything as equal as possible in the type of rifle that they're shooting, I get it.
Yes, and down to even when they look at the ammunition-wise, too, all right? They have to make sure they're not using anything that's no more than 1.1 inches and loaded with a lead or alloy bullet of not larger than 0.23 inches in diameter, excuse me. So like hollow points, tracers, incendiaries, and explosive bullets, those are specifically excluded. from being used in these matches. So they cover everything, even down to a trigger guard. Like, for example, a rifle must be equipped with an effective trigger guard. A lack of a trigger guard constitutes as an unsafe rifle, and you are out.
So
there are some very serious rules.
So Hank and Blue, they didn't qualify in the long rifle. They qualified in the trap shooting. What kind of stats do you have on the trap shooting of just kind of a few things that are allowed and not allowed? You know, can they shoot with a 12 gauge or does it have to be a 20 or something like that?
Oh, sure. Of course. Yes. So when it comes to the trap shooting, youth or adult size 20 gauge, 16 or 12 gauge shotguns may be used. When it comes to ammunition, the correct ammunition for the shotgun must be fired. Tracer, armor piercing, and explosive ammo, of course, are not allowed.
Oh, come on.
And just so that you kind of get an idea of how this is set up, in case you've never gone to a trap shoot before, there are 5 firing positions. We call them posts, and they're numbered 1 to 5, left to right. And each one is spaced 3 yards apart and at a distance of 16 yards. So it's just kind of giving you an idea of how the layout is. You'll shoot 5 at each spot. You know that you always say the word pull when you want them to toss a pigeon. Just kind of bringing those of you that aren't familiar with trap shooting up to speed. Also, what I found was interesting, though, is when you see some of these clubs and these shooting competitions, you a lot of times see them getting into, what do you want to say, more sporty type clothing. Well, because this is the National High School Rodeo Association putting it on, I thought it was interesting that those sporting contestants, they're required to wear their contestant back numbers at all times. If they're not wearing their back numbers, the contestant will be disqualified. They are required to wear jeans, long pants, or trousers. They have to have wrist-length sleeve shirts with a collar. That's a big one. They have to wear shirts with a collar and a cuff. And I know I just came back from some other trap shoots that were not sanctioned with rodeo, so not the Western Flair. And there it's become very popular, you can agree, Tigger, to wear those UV-protected
shirts. Oh, sure. Yep.
But they're saying for this, even though we're in the 90s, just so you know, in Lincoln, it is not cool here, okay? We're sweating. It is 90-some degrees. These shooters are, yes, in long pants. They're in shirts with a collar and a cuff, and their shirts have to be tucked in. I'm literally reading you some of the bylaws for this. And say, for example, you know, it's hot out, something like that. Their shirt cuffs can be unbuttoned, unsnapped during competition. However, they can only be rolled one time to allow flexibility, and they can only roll that cuff of their shirt no more than a 4-inch roll. I thought this was pretty crazy, like how down to, you know, they're getting down to, I'm picking on what you can wear, what you're allowed. I don't know. To me, I thought it was interesting. Western boots, or cowboy hats are optional to wear during the competition. Because cowboy hats can prove to be a safety issue, they are allowed to wear a baseball cap. And I found it though kind of interesting because you're thinking about the cowboy culture, excuse me. And we just said, you know, Western boots, or they have to wear something that's closed toes. However, if those cowboys and cowgirls have their spurs on, it's highly discouraged, and they more than likely are going to be asked to take those spurs off before they go up and shoot.
Oh, because a lot of those individuals might have qualified in another event. Like Blue, for example, he's in the saddle bronc riding and also in the trap shoot.
Exactly. So there's just a lot of ins and outs about this. I just found it fascinating, okay? Given the time that this is taking, I think it's time we take just a quick short break. But stay where you are. It's the Ben Show. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about rodeo and just how many kids are part of this. You're listening to the Ben Show.
Is there that particular pair of boots or that shirt or pair of jeans that you just can't find anywhere else? Check out Medora Boot and Western Wear. Medora Boot and Western Wear is the go-to for boots, jeans, especially jackets, and even those hard-to-find accessories that make perfect gifts. Check out MedoraBoot.com, or better yet, give Kim a call at 701-623-1005 and tell Kim that Tigger and Beck sent you. For the latest in Western and outdoor practical and fashionable wear, there is only one: Medora Boot and Western Wear.
Hey guys and gals, this is John Armand with Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV. Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV travels the back roads to the backwaters in pursuit of the ultimate adventure in hunting and fishing. Join Team UOA every week for exciting action in the crosshairs of the outdoors. Catch Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV on YouTube, Amazon Prime, and make sure to follow Team UOA on Facebook and Instagram to share in the ultimate outdoor adventure.
This is Jeff Tigger Earhart. Check this out, coming in 2026. RanchChannel.com proudly launches the Sales Series, your inside track to the world of livestock and ranching excellence. From elite bulls, heifers, and horses to the land and equipment, products, and programs shaping the future of agriculture, we bring you the stories behind the operations, the vision behind the genetics, and the focus that can elevate your herd. Whether you're building, expanding, or fine-tuning your ranch, dive deeper into the innovations and livestock programs changing the game. The Sales Series, only on RanchChannel.com, where smart ranching starts.
Welcome back to The Ben Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck. Jeff Tigger Earhart is in the co-host chair, and he's back home taking care of things because, as I mentioned earlier, I'm on the road. I am in Lincoln, Nebraska, where they are hosting the 2026 National High School Finals Rodeo. It has kicked off. And just so you know a little bit more about this association, it has more than 12,000 student members and sanctions over 1,800 rodeos annually. The National High School Finals Rodeo is widely recognized as one of the largest youth rodeos in the world, bringing together more than 1,800 student athlete finalists, families, coaches, and fans from across the United States, including 44 states will be represented, and Canada, Australia, Mexico, Guatemala, and New Zealand. In addition to competing for more than $150,000 in prizes and over $200,000 in added money, contestants will also be competing for more than $375,000 in college scholarships and the chance to be named the National High School Finals Rodeo World Champion. Now, to earn this title, these contestants, they must finish in the top 20 based on their combined times and scores in the first two rounds to advance to next Saturday's evening's final round. So there's going to be some money won, world champions crowned. It's going to be some exciting times this week in Lincoln.
And so we've got the bull riding, we got the bareback riding, saddle bronc riding, barrel racing, breakaway roping, tie down roping, team roping, kind of those traditional events, steer wrestling, goat tying, pole bending, cutting, working cow horse was another one they added, and of course the rodeo queen competition in there too.
Yeah, it's a full week of, and I've seen the schedule of what's going on for these contestants. So they get practice days, and when they're not practicing, they're even holding things like a rodeo prom, just a lot of fun activities for these students that are coming from all over the world. And also, I thought I'd have a little fun with what's there to do in Lincoln, Nebraska, or what are some fun facts about Lincoln, Nebraska, in case you didn't know it. It is the capital city of Nebraska, and it was, yes, named after Abraham Lincoln shortly after his assassination back in 1865. But what is Nebraska known for?
Football.
Yes, the Cornhuskers, right? I think we've all heard about the Cornhuskers. And I have a question for you. In all your travels, this came across as a Nebraska signature food, and I gotta be honest, I've never had one. Tigger, have you had the Runza?
Yes.
Seriously, you've had one?
Yeah, actually, it was just south of Lincoln in the town of York. That's by the Nebraska border.
Okay, yeah. So am I reading this correctly? Like, what I was told by other locals is that it's really just like a warm, doughy, like a pizza pocket, except it's stuffed with like ground beef, cabbage, onions
and stuff. Spices. Yeah. Yeah, they're really good.
It almost sounds like a Philly cheese, steak cheese kind of thing instead of a pocket.
It depends where you're from. Different people have named them different things. If you're in Oklahoma, it's named this. You know, if you're in Nebraska, it's named that. But yeah, they're really good. Before you come home, you gotta bring one of them.
Well, the other thing, or I was surprised, them, everybody also told me that I needed to have a Reuben sandwich because it originates from Nebraska. I didn't know that. Reubens are very popular up where we're from, and I'm not a fan because I don't like
sauerkraut.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that is all over the menu down here as well, is the Reuben sandwich. Before we go, a quick shout out to our nephews, Blue Wanner in Saddle Bronc and trap shooting, and his brother Hank Wanner, also competing in trap shooting, Will Reich in rifle and trap shooting, Miranda Mossett on the barrels, Tegan Hommelvig with goat tying, and Ruby Johnson doing the breakaway roping. And that is all for this week, folks. Thank you again for riding along. And remember to keep sending us any questions you might have, something spot-worthy for us to share, as well as your area's field reports. How are you doing in the rodeo world? Or what kind of fish are you reeling in these days? We'd love to hear about it. That number, call or text anytime, 305-900-2363. Again, 305-900-2363. Or you can always email menradioshow@gmail.com. And if you missed part of this show or want to hear past shows, you can find them all on the website, themenshow.com. Finally, big thanks to all of you listeners out there that came along. And whether you're coming or going today, stay with us as we ranch it out. And remember to keep up with me back all week long by following The Bend on Facebook and on Instagram at The Bend Show. This is Rebecca Wanner. Catch Beck if you can next week on The Bend.